Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all our listeners. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mudiwa Gavaza, and for today, it is a Monday, which means we get into some consumer issues. And, you know, for today, we're focusing on something. We've touched on it quite a bit, in the last couple of months, and that's, you know, motor vehicle sales. But before we get into some of those nitty gritties, we're going to be talking to an executive who has a lot of knowledge around this. We're going to be joined by Marsha Mayaba, who is the chief executive for motor retail at Barloworld, and also the vice president of the National Automobiles Dealers Association of South Africa. So that's the conversation we're going to be talking about. Marsha was recently appointed, so we're just going to be talking about that, and then we'll get into some of the trends that they have been seeing. So, Marsha, greetings to you.
Good morning, Mudiwa. Good afternoon, good evening to the listeners, and thank you for having me on Business Day this morning.
Now, thank you so much for joining us. No, we really appreciate you joining us on the show just to talk about some of these issues. But before we maybe get into the consumer side, you know, you've recently been appointed. Can you just tell us a little bit about what the new roles entail?
Thank you very much. Yes, recently appointed as the chief executive for Barloworld Motor Retail, recently appointed as well as the vice chairperson for the National Automobile Dealers Association, also known as NADA. So as chief executive, I'll be responsible for running the entire motor retail business with various original equipment manufacturers represented under our Barloworld umbrella. And then referring to car brands like Toyota, Volkswagen, Ford, BMW, Mercedes, etc. And then from a NADA perspective, I will be chairing the transformation committee and championing change in the motor industry, as well as obviously representing all our NADA members, which are on the retail side of the business. So it comes together quite nicely, you know, from a Barloworld perspective. It's the relationship between ourselves as retailers and the OEMs, which are the manufacturers in South Africa, and from a NADA perspective, a relationship with the members who are purely retailers. So I'm quite fortunate to assume that role in both capacities.
Also on the two roles, I think that then gives you quite a bit of insight. Could you maybe give us some insight just into what it has been like to be in your industry at this time? And just as a matter of interest, how long have you been in the industry?
Sure. Mudiwa, I've been in the motor industry for 23 years.
Wow.
Started in 1997, and very often people, you know, are quite interested to hear about the journey. But the long and the short of it, it's quite sentimental for me because I started at Barloworld in 1997 as a trainee, a receptionist, as a driver, as an assistant. And fast forward to 2020, I've been humbled and blessed with an opportunity to lead this organization as the chief executive. So that is the summary version of the 23 years with a whole lot of other experience in between. I've got experience on truck rental, car rental, fleet management, leasing, and now retail. So to answer your question, how has it been? Mudiwa, like all the other industries in South Africa, in Africa and globally, we've been impacted quite severely by COVID-19, by the lockdown, and literally from selling zero car in April, coming back mid-May. In June, we were quite surprised. We sold about 30,000 units. And then in September, you know, between June and September, we saw some green shoots coming up, and we sold 37,000 units in September. But I'm sure, as everybody knows, and the economists and the private sector and government, we don't have a crystal ball for the developments, but we remain positive. We've had to tighten our belts in terms of cost control, but there's definitely been a decline in the market in terms of new vehicle sales. And we're calling it at about a 30% decline at this stage.
I think, you know, 30% is quite a drop in against, you know, any measure and in almost any industry. And I guess on that front, how do you relate Barloworld's performance versus the industry, since you have oversight or insight on both sides from an industry point of view and a Barloworld point of view? Simply because I'm sure you guys are one of the biggest retailers just on that end. But at the same time, how has the rest of the industry performed?
We've got 38 dealerships within Barloworld, and our business model has always been fewer, bigger, better. So you'll find that there's other groups out there who have much more dealerships and representation, but our dealerships are large in size and they are fewer, and we believe that we are indeed better. You know, what is happening currently in the motor industry is not an exact science, but it's so interesting how when we all gather and we have these discussions, webinars, Zoom meetings, Skype meetings like now, etc., we are all very much aligned. Our businesses have really, really come back and they are going and moving in the same trajectory. So definitely we had about 28-30% decline on new vehicle sales, which is very much in line with the market. And we've seen a very buoyant used car market coming up. And that is purely based on the car rental market has literally been flattened and depleted. So we found a lot of car rental companies defleeting their vehicles and used vehicle stock coming into the market. And therefore, people are buying down. So those used cars from the car rental market have come in and we've been able to sell them. So we're performing at 100% on used vehicles. And then from an after-sales perspective, and that's your parts and service, Mudiwa, we've realized the anomaly is that obviously, you know, even though we're operating at level one, not everybody has gone back to work. Some organizations have become very flexible, very much like Barloworld, and not rigid in terms of saying everybody is 100% at work. So people are still working from home. So we're seeing less services coming through, less parts being sold, and there we're seeing about a 20% drop. We're operating at 80% productivity. But like I say, it's almost as if we are all speaking the same language because we've all been impacted the same. And our businesses have bounced back very similar to what the market is doing.
You know, I like the fact that you've brought up the used car sales because, you know, just engaging with other companies, we recently engaged with CarTrack, and they were talking about, you know, that there's been an uptick in them fitting new telematics devices onto used vehicles. Also talking to other operators like We Buy Cars, also talking about this increase in, you know, used vehicles. Does that, you know, change in any way how you guys operate, or does it just, I guess, accelerate a certain part of what Barloworld's business has always been?
So the challenge historically, Mudiwa, with regards to used cars, has always been the availability of stock. The used car market definitely an opportunity within Barloworld and in South Africa. However, to find good stock is a bit of a challenge. So we've seen the buoyance of this market in the last 3 months purely because we've had the availability of stock. Our concern is the sustainability of that, because remember, it's a value chain. People need to buy new cars in order to trade in new cars or for them to go to a dealership and to sell them. Car rental has to buy new cars to service the industry and to defleet in order for us to sell to the public. So we know car rental is flat. In fact, we are seeing very little upswing and green shoots as far as car rental is concerned. New cars is down, so that means very little people are actually driving into the dealerships and selling their cars or trading them in for new cars. So whilst we are seeing a buoyance, we're not too sure how sustainable it's going to be. Time will tell, but it's all relative to all these other things that hang together. Government purchases, same thing. Fleet customers. Fleet customers in the private sector also perform a big, big a role in terms of the value chain. But it starts with a new vehicle sale. So yes, we are enjoying the fruits at the moment, but we are all on the fence in terms of how sustainable are we going to be in the next few months in terms of used vehicle stock. But to answer your question once again, yes, we are seeing the upswing, and that is what has really helped us during this time that we are going through now.
You know, one of the things I'm curious about, whether it's new or used vehicles, there are a lot of different parties that are there, and you've already highlighted a lot of them. You know, you've got the rental market, you've got government, you've got consumers, etc. The piece that is, I guess, ordinary consumers, you know, you and I just driving on a daily basis to and from work, or, you know, driving your kids to school, whatever it is, the consumer portion of the vehicles market, well, you know, roughly, you know, how much of the pie is that?
Sure. So if I just do a quick calculation in my head, it's a very big portion of it. I'll tell you, because what we do every month from a NAMSA perspective, when we report units, we literally split the dealer sales versus government versus fleet versus car rental. And the biggest part of that is the consumer, that is business to consumer. And I would say it's 50% of the total value chain. And then car rental is probably another 20%, fleet 15%, and the rest would be government. So we rely quite a lot on consumers. So when a customer doesn't walk into a dealership showroom floor, Mudiwa, we are messing with people's jobs. We were messing with the economy. Because remember, the motor industry contributes plus minus 6% to this country's GDP. So when there's no consumer buying, the business is not sustainable relying on these other three value chains, which would be government, fleet, as well as car rental. We rely quite a lot on the consumer.
You know, the reason I had even brought up that issue of consumers is I think sometimes just from a public perception point of view, we tend to think that all of these other portions or all of these other actors in the economy are probably contributing more to, let's say, the vehicles market, government, rentals, etc., not realizing that consumers actually hold a lot of power from that point of view. But at the same time, consumers are very strained at the moment. So I'm one of the things that I'm quite interested to, you know, maybe know or hear some thinking around is, what is the thinking around, you know, financing, you know, because consumers are under strain. But as you said, you know, the people are still keen to buy vehicles, whether new or used. There is still that appetite to be buying cars. So do you see any evolution in the financing discussion, or has the needle not moved because of COVID-19 on that front?
So Mudiwa, what I can tell you, when I talk about the green shoots that we've started seeing, it's a business partnership between ourselves as retailers, finance houses, and OEMs to say, how do we package transactions that is going to make it attractive to a customer to walk into our dealerships? So the 37,000 units in September from the 30,000 in June is really facilitated and accelerated by these arrangements that we have as a partnership. In times like these, Mudiwa, we cannot afford to operate in silos. It is so critical that we all sit around the table and come up with these solutions. So in fact, what we've seen is a new type of buyer coming up. So the new type of buyer is obviously using digital and online. And another type of buyer is somebody, for example, that has just finished a university and they're graduating. And, you know, normally we classify those as high-risk profile because they've never worked in their lives. But the banks have always had like a graduate program that supports newly qualified professionals. But what has been really, really interesting for us is people that have been in the work and mainstream employment, call it for 5-10 years, and they've never been able to afford a car. But with the reduced interest rates that we've had since we've come back from lockdown, all of a sudden they can afford it. And now they're buying cars. So that for us, I think, is where we are seeing the upswing. We are also challenged with them coming through having buying power, but because of historical challenges, financial affordability, you find that they're listed on ITC. So like I mentioned earlier, it really is a mixed bag at the moment. Everybody's learning, but here's what we know. It is not business as usual. And we have to make sure that we look after our customers, because at the end of the day, these businesses, I mean, these big dealerships that you see standing will not be sustainable without the consumers outside of everything else.
And then, you know, this one is just, I don't know, this one is, maybe we can call it pie in the sky, but just thinking, looking into the future, as you said, there is no crystal ball. But do you think there's any, I'm now thinking about how consumer behaviors have changed quite a lot. We've seen a lot of movement towards, let's say, for example, online shopping when it comes to groceries and, you know, I guess normal retail operations. But, you know, vehicle sales do form a part of the retail market in some way. Do you think the South African consumer has reached the stage yet where they can trust buying a vehicle online simply because, you know, you might not want to go to the dealership, you might be just trying it out? Are South African consumers at that point yet, or is this just something we'll see maybe one day in future? I'm just thinking about it because Tesla does that in the United States, and I wondered, is that something that's feasible for South Africa?
I think if you look at Europe and the United States, they are far ahead in terms of online presence and online transactions. But what the pandemic has done and the lockdown has done, definitely we see it from our marketing perspective and the feedback that we receive from the OEMs, Modiwa, that there's definitely been an incline in terms of or an accelerated presence online when it comes to vehicle purchases. I remember when we sold a car from Cape Town to KZN, back to back from the beginning of the process right up to the delivery of the vehicle, and we never met the customer. And that was the first time I've gone through or experienced that in 23 years. So compared to overseas markets, we're definitely far behind. Has COVID-19 accelerated the trust and the process of buying? Absolutely. But we're still quite behind. I don't think we can get away with the bricks and mortar. You still have that customer that wants to come in, wants to touch and feel the car and experience the car. But have we seen an improvement? Yes. How far that improvement is going to go, Modiwa, we will see in the next 18 to 24 months. This is where we are calling the recovery market for the motor industry. We're saying it will take us at least 18 to 24 months before we can actually see some sustainability or stability in this market.
I guess with all of that in mind, the 18 to 24 months, we've now spoken a lot about how consumers have been affected by COVID-19, dealerships, all of that. Coming back to your new roles, what are you excited about going forward? Because a lot of things do seem as if they're bleak, but just talking to you, it does sound like you're quite upbeat about what the prospects are.
We have to be upbeat, Modiwa, because the reality of the matter is that what this pandemic has done to us globally, our president mentioned the other day, it is totally unprecedented. People have lost their jobs. So while some of us have still got our jobs, what a time to lead for me. My first and primary focus is acknowledging and accepting the responsibility that Barloworld has bestowed upon me to walk a journey with our people as we recover as a business, as we recover as individuals, as we recover with our families. We have come through a very, very challenging time. So what excites me is the ability to be able to say, I want to stay close to the people, I want to be supportive to the people, whilst we chase the target and objectives that we need to get to for the sustainability of our businesses. Because if we do not do that, then we are just going to repeat the cycle of where we've come from. So that's the one element of it. From another perspective, you know, I've always, always decided, Modiwa, that as a black female in the motor industry in South Africa, it would have been an absolute travesty for me to take a back seat and just watch things evolve. So heading up the Transformation Committee for NIDA is about driving change and seeing a tangible change coming through. I'm so excited about my appointment because, you know, I'm one person. But indirectly, it puts pressure on the system. Can we all just sit in our boardrooms and look at the representation in the boardrooms and ask ourselves the question, is this representative of the demographics of South Africa? If the answer is no, and my appointment can fast track that, then I definitely will be living my purpose, Modiwa.
No, we certainly appreciate that quite a bit. And as we sort of are rounding up the conversation, this is also, you know, something I think a lot of business leaders around the countries are sort of still grappling with. And I think in particularly in your industry, this is a question that you've also probably been tackling. How are you thinking about remote working, work from home, or just the typical work-life structure structures as you're, you know, getting into these roles and, you know, putting in your leadership style and all of that? How are you thinking around all of these issues?
So one of the questions that we had when we decided that, okay, we are on level one and we are all to return to work, the one commonality that we had as an executive at Barloworld is that we're not going to take a rigid approach. COVID-19 and lockdown has certainly opened our eyes and ears to the reality of the world. Some people have enjoyed working from home thoroughly, and some people have absolutely not been able to adjust working from home. So we've looked at the roles that can continue to work from home successfully versus the role, for example, of a salesperson who has to come and sit at a dealership floor and sell vehicles. So from a Barloworld perspective, from a Marsha perspective, the job roles that can continue working from home, people are welcome to do so. And the job functions where we know, for example, a technician has to come to work because the customers bring their vehicles there to be serviced or repaired. But we cannot afford to be rigid. We have to be flexible. And once again, nothing is normal now. I mean, we are dealing with parents where either the schools have completely terminated the school term year and said, we'll pick it up in 2021. Those parents need to accommodate their children to say, okay, as much as I need to go back to work, what do I do with my child? So there are many dynamics and we have to be flexible. And once again, it comes back to empathy. We need to accept that we have all gone through such an emotional draining, mentally draining, physically draining time. And we can only do this together. So that is my approach. That has always been my leadership style. And I'm very much a people-centered person, Modiwa.
And then lastly, Marsha, you know, just to end off the discussion, there's something that you touched on earlier on. You're talking about representation. You're talking about boardrooms, being an executive, 23 years in the industry, being part of an industry body, plus being at a big industrial company like Barloworld. How are you thinking about, or at least ensuring that there is a pipeline for more, you know, Marshas to rise to the top, I guess, in the coming years?
So for me, it's a two-pronged approach. The females that are in the motor industry right now, when I was appointed as a dealer principal in 2011, I remember female salespeople, female technicians coming to me and saying they never ever thought that they would see a female dealer principal before, let alone the race part of it. So we need to make sure that this pipeline that we have inside our dealer networks, we do not lose it. And if we do, the leakage must not be at the rate that we are seeing now. We need to retain our people. We need to train our people. And it comes down to dealership management, Modiwa. The minute the dealer principal and the line managers train and develop their people and give their people a career and a future, and this is what my challenge is as the vice chairperson of NADA, to the dealer network, to say we are not just salespeople, we are not just technicians, we're not just admin clerks. Give us a seat at the table as women because we are competent and we are good at what we do. So that's number one. Number two, you know, I always use this example. Where have you ever gone to a school, for example, and asked people, what do you want to be when you grow up, or which industry do you want to work in? Literally, probably zero to none will say the motor industry. We need to work hard to make this industry attractive to the young girl child, the young boy child at school, to say there's a big value chain. There's original equipment manufacturers. There's retail. There's panel shops. There's insurance. There's non-OEM after-sales repair centers. There's glass supply. There's tire supply. There's components and accessories. It is such a huge industry with great opportunity. And really, really, you know, it's not about me, but the fact, by the virtue that I'm the only female CEO of a motor retail organization in South Africa should give children hope that it can be done in the motor industry in South Africa.
Give hope and it can be done. Those are the words of Marsha Mayaba, who is the chief executive for motor retail at Barloworld and also vice president of the National Automobile Dealers Association, giving us some insight into her new appointment on both the Barloworld side and the NADA side, telling us that at least on the consumer side, things are tough at the moment, going from a situation where there were selling no cars back in April to a resurgence now where they've seen up to 37,000 cars being sold, talking to, you know, the financial institutions to help consumers out, talking a lot just around how the used vehicle market has seen an uptick, but issues of stock might question sustainability going into the future. Also just talking about how to ensure leadership and a sustainable pipeline going forward, and also just talking about the things that she's excited about, and also talking about how technology, issues of online retail might influence the way that vehicles or sales are being sold now and into the future, and also just mentioning the fact that there'll always be some place for brick and mortar retail locations for motor vehicles. So that's been us. Thank you so much to Marsha for joining us.
This is Mudiwa's Tech.
Quite a fascinating discussion with Marcia just around her appointment and the state of the motor vehicle industry. And I think starting with her appointment, it's quite good to see that there is progress from the industry from that point of view. I remember a few months back, we had an engagement with the lady from APSA's, you know, motor vehicle financing unit, just talking about some of the issues there in terms of just creating that pipeline of having more women taking up some of these roles and building those pipelines. And it's quite interesting then to see this happening, I guess, from the retail side, because that was the financing side, but this is now from the retail and industry side. And as good as things are from that point of view in terms of the appointment, a lot more can still be done to just make sure that there's just more inclusivity and, as Marcia said, more representation in boardrooms when it comes to the industry. And she mentioned quite a big pipeline and a big supply chain and value chain that people can actually get into. So that work of making sure that people get into the industry, but also making sure that people stay in the industry and they're able to rise up in the industry, it's a very important one. And then switching over to the consumer issues, one of my biggest takeaways is this issue of used vehicles, and the other one is online vehicle sales. An engagement with We Buy Cars recently, they said that about 25% of their sales at the moment are using online channels. If you go to a place like in the US, I mentioned this example during the show, is that Tesla primarily sells a lot of their vehicles through online channels. They do have retail locations, but they aren't the usual dealership. They're actually built like a boutique or any other shop that you see in a mall, actually, in a shopping center. You go there just to see and feel what the car actually feels like if you want to take a test drive, etc. But the actual buying process is something that will happen primarily online. And that might be something that we see going forward. But that mismatch between the secondhand vehicle sales stocks that Marcia highlighted versus people's hesitation generally about that process might be some of the hindrances, but it could spawn, because there's already a big value chain, but it might spawn some interesting businesses along the way. Like, for example, you might start having, you know, businesses that are just there to deliver cars to people's doors, for example, or businesses that just take a car to you just to have it test driven. Or in the case of technicians, because, you know, Marcia spoke about technicians and how they have to come into the workshop because people bring their cars to the workshop to get it fixed. But if things are happening online and you've got this remote working life and all that, could we perhaps see a life where your technician is actually sent to your house, right, as part of the service, that they deliver the car to your house and they also attend and do maybe some minor maintenance on the car at your actual house. If need be for you to actually come bring it into a workshop, then they may provide those services, maybe come and get your car for you, take it to the workshop, get it sorted out, and then take it back. These are all interesting possibilities that could happen in the motor vehicle industry. country. But more than anything else, it's just hearing that despite how bad things are, the motor vehicle industry, which, as Moses said, contributes 6% to GDP, is still experiencing, you know, good appetite. People still want to buy cars, right? Which is a good thing for the economy. That's been it for today's edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcast on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter, where hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. Our producer is Paige Muller, together with Modiehi Mashemaete. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. This has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.